Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, two-man car. We're 10-8. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner, Jesse Romero. We make up this team on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I want to welcome you, all our listeners. And Jesse, good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Reporting for duty, sir. Ruben, my heart is broken as I think about all you guys in California over there. And seeing the political nonsense that you guys are going through, because it's more than anything political than medical at this point. You have dozens and dozens of doctors that have posted on YouTube contradicting Fauci and Burke, contradicting their methodology. And at this point, I think it's become ideological.
Yes, it is. And Newsom went on the record as saying that at this point he's ordering the election to be held by ballots, by mail-in ballots.
So they can cheat.
Exactly.
They can do what's called ballot harvesting. Yeah.
So they're trying to, that's why the whole point of trying to extend this lockdown so that it could affect the upcoming November election.
Absolutely.
This is nothing. This is what it's all about.
There's your police mind at work.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's true. I have a pretty good idea that the mayor's in lockstep with the governor, apparently on the news this morning, KFI, because yesterday the governor was going to allow churches to open with 100 or the capacity of 100, but wanted safe distancing and sanitation, and they wanted, but who's to say, who's making up those numbers arbitrarily? What if it's a little chapel, and you're going to have 100 people, or what if it's a cathedral like downtown LA that could hold like 3,000 people?
Yeah, Terry's Chapel and the cathedral are different in size and volume.
Yes.
So if you're going to put 100 people in Terry's Chapel, it's going to be fairly full. 100 people in the LA Cathedral is empty.
Couple rows, yeah, exactly. So that's what we're dealing with. And then the mayor this morning, apparently on KFI, mayor, he's a Jewish man. He said that he spoke to his rabbi and he spoke to his and the bishop. He didn't say which bishop, but he says they don't feel comfortable with opening. And it just breaks my heart, Jesse, that our leaders are not stepping up. I'm going to share a positive story real quick with you. This past Friday, we buried my aunt. She was my dad's sister. She was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. She was in the nursing corps. She followed the 82nd Airborne into Iraq during the first Desert Storm. She was a hero, and yesterday was Memorial Day, so we honored those people who gave their life for the country. And we were fortunate that my sister was able to arrange the funeral at the SSPX in Arcadia, and outdoor mass, and following that, we stayed in the car. And but we would listen on our radios. They had a frequency, and just blessed that the priest would go out to the funeral, out to the cemetery, which you're not even seeing priests doing that anymore. So right now during this lockdown,
right,
we were able to get that, and it really broke my heart because typically you could request a military, honor guard there. But because of this, it didn't happen. My nephew, who happens to be a pilot in the Air Force, he's a captain, and he was there, and it brought me to tears when he was on the radio or his sound system. He played taps and he saluted her, and that's really, really got to me. But I'm going to tell you, this is the cool part of the story. Well, my sister and her husband came out to go to the funeral, and they exited their door. They have a statue of the Blessed Mother right to the right of the door. It was given to them by my late grandmother, my aunt's mother, who passed. And she inherited it when my grandmother passed. When they came out of the door, there was a white dove sitting on the head of the Blessed Mother. And, typically birds will fly away. You get anywhere near them, the bird stayed. And they got into their car, and the bird was still there. And then later on at the church, at the steeple, on the cross above on the steeple, a white dove appeared there during Mass, outdoor Mass. And then when we told my father, he goes, well, when I came out of my house, I saw a white dove sitting in my front yard. Three doves, Jesse. I don't know if
those are good signs. That's the way God speaks to us and gives us consolation. And basically, he's letting you and your family know, hey, she's well. She's fine. I got it covered. She's well.
Yeah.
Those are signs from heaven. Now, if you start seeing black crows or, you know, ravens or something cawing in your front yard when your family member dies, you know, saying, okay, that's not good. But without a doubt, those are signs from God giving you guys spiritual consolation. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah. Three doves, the Blessed Trinity right there. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And then again, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, just the dove itself. Wow. Ruben, let's go to what I think is the heart of the issue, why all this started. There's an article put out by TFP. It's called The Pachamama, Pope Francis, and the Pandemic. Let's connect the dots. The article says, in several recent pronouncements, and we say this respectfully, we're just reporting facts. I mean, Pope Francis is our pope, we're just reporting things that he said, praying for him also, because, again, he is the vicar of Christ, and we're just kind of worried as to some of the comments that he does make. They're not magisterial, but nonetheless, it still you know, gives us reason to worry. It says here, in several recent pronouncements, Pope Francis has hinted that the current coronavirus pandemic is a revenge of nature. In a March 22nd interview with Spanish journalist Jordi Evole, Pope Francis was asked whether the present pandemic is not a revenge of nature. The Pope answered with a popular saying, which he repeats like a theological axiom, God forgives always, we men forgive sometimes, the nature never forgives, close quote. Pope Francis added that nature is kicking us so we can take care of it. Speaking to English journalist Austin Ivory of the Liberal Catholic London Weekly, The Tablet, on April 8th, 2020, Pope Francis repeated the same refrain, and after commenting on various calamities, he says, I don't know if these are the revenge of nature, but they are certainly nature's response. And the same idea emerged in a special catechesis on the United Nations 50th anniversary of Earth Day on April 22nd, Pope Francis says, because of our selfishness, we have failed in our responsibility to be guardians and stewards of the earth. We have sinned against the earth, and how does the earth react? Close quote. He repeated the mantra once again, God forgives always, we men forgive sometimes, the earth never forgives. The earth never forgives. If we have despoiled the earth, the response will be very bad. Ruben, take it away.
You know, Jess, some may question the Pope's supernatural. You know, we're not one to quite. We can't sit here and judge his heart. But, you know, some people are saying, has he lost his supernatural faith? You know, if he's ever had it to begin with, you know, and that's just what. Because they're hearing stuff like this, and so people are questioning Catholics across the country.
Harry, Ed.
Ruben.
Man, my mind is gone.
It's okay.
Ruben, this is, with all due respect, Jesuitical modernist language. Okay? Yeah. This is the way the Jesuits are trained. He's a Jesuit. They've embraced modernism. This is not the Jesuits of St. Charles Borromeo. And so what you hear him say, this is simply his theological formation coming out. Mm. This is what he's been taught all his life. And this is the result of the modernist infiltration into the church. You have bishops and many prelates that, again, they have this this disordered way of thinking theologically, where matter seems to be more important than the spirit. Go ahead.
So, you know, when he says sins against the earth, you know, what about sins against the Blessed Trinity, sins against the faith, sins against humanity? You know, according to the WHO, every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. This corresponds to approximately 125 abortions per year, per day. And what about sins against the Immaculate Heart of Mary? You know, as taught by the angel to the children of Fatima, when she taught him the prayer, "Oh my Jesus, it is for love of you and in reparation for the children, reparation for the offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and from the conversion of poor sinners." What about all that? You know, of course, you know, we should be good stewards of the ecology, but the last time I checked, that wasn't one of the Ten Commandments, Jesse, nor the five precepts of the church. Just saying.
Correct. Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Not part of the Ten Commandments, five precepts of the church. We are called to be, as the Bible says, good stewards of the earth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, that's stuff like, you know, don't be putting graffiti on walls. Don't be dumping, you know, your trash in the alley. You know, don't be hacking, you know, loogies on the floor. I mean, just simple stuff like that, Ruben. You know, go ahead and put your recycling stuff in the blue can. Simple common sense stuff. But some of the statements that we hear, it's moving more towards the deification of Earth. That's the problem.
Yep. And later on, the Pope says, we are the ones who have ruined the work of the Lord. Hence, in today's celebration of Earth Day, we are called to renew our sense of the sacred respect for the Earth, for it is not just our home, but also God's home. The article says, but respect is not enough. It would seem we need an ecological conversion, is what the Pope is leading to. So the Earth, is it God's home? And, you know, that statement, the statement by Pope Francis that the earth.
Well, can't back that up with scripture.
Yeah, let's go ahead and we'll hold on to this thought one for the other side of the break. You've been listening to Jesus 911. We'll be right back. Grab another cup of coffee and join us on the other side of the break.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on his word, read it often, and put it into practice.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're back, Jesus 911. Two-man car, 10-8, giving you some Catholic intel. We're talking about an article, what's the title of the Pachamama, Pope Francis and the Pandemic. And We're talking about how on Earth Day, we're at the point here where you're quoting Pope Francis on Earth Day, that it's a something that is put together, I think, by the United Nations, if I'm not correct, and that they honor this this day as a kind of like their holy day of obligation, so to speak.
And that's what happens. You know, St. Paul says that's what happens, by the way, when that's what happens when people stop worshiping the one true God. In Romans chapter 1, there's a whole theology that he says what ends up happening is they start worshiping idols, man-made things. Mm-hmm. Because the human soul has an innate desire to worship something outside of ourselves, something greater than ourselves. So if you don't encounter and end up worshiping the one true God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you will be deceived and you will worship man-made objects, even things like Mother Earth.
Yeah, and the author of the article, he points out that the statement by Pope Francis that the earth is not just our home but also God's home is imprecise and can lead to pantheist confusion. Traditional Catholic doctrine says that God, by his power and virtue, fills heaven and earth and all things contained therein. Well, he himself is confined to no place. He is, however, frequently said in Scripture to have his dwelling in the heavens. So they point out, for instance, Psalm 123. It reads, "To you I raise my eyes, to you enthroned in heaven." The first book of Kings shows God's omnipresence, as he cannot be contained in the heavens or on earth. Is God indeed to dwell on earth? If the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built? 1 Kings 8:27. And then Matthew 6:9, the prayer that our Lord teaches us, precisely with the invocation, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And straight out of the Catechism of Council of Trent, "And nature never forgives." You know, if you slap it, it will always slap you back.
Those are the Pope's words.
That's exactly what the Pope said. So,
yeah, he said already in January 2015, in one of his, and remember, let me just remind people who are wondering, as a Catholic, we can ask questions of our sacred pastors. It's in paragraph 907 and it quotes Canon 212. You have the right. If you hear something that's off the rails, off the marks, you can wait after Mass and talk to the priest or the bishop. Say, "Father, I thought there was three persons in the Holy Trinity, not four. Maybe I misunderstood you." And so, again, the Pope and bishops and priests, they're not experts when it comes to science. That's outside of their lane of authority. And so when they're making statements about science, you as a Catholic, with respect, you can say, something doesn't sound right to me there. Something, the sensus fidelium kicks in, and you can say, "Wait a minute, this doesn't sound to me like something that comports with Catholic teaching. I've got questions for you." So again, we have the right to do this. It says here, already in January 2015, in one of his peculiar airborne interviews, flying from Sri Lanka to the Philippines, when challenged by a journalist question about whether climate change was man's fault, Pope Francis answered, I don't know if it's all, but mostly, for a large part, man slaps nature continually, but we have taken hold of nature, of Mother Earth. I remember, you already heard this, when an old peasant once told me, God always forgives, we men sometimes forgive, nature never forgives. If you slap it, it will always slap you back. Again, I think here's the point that the article's making and what tradition holds. And this is why St. Paul says, hold fast to the traditions. Notice that. Because tradition gives us the interpretive grid to interpret Scripture. That's where the Protestants, by the way, have gone wrong. Because they don't have the tradition of the church that goes all the way back to the apostles. On a lot of these pronouncements and teachings, they don't have the tradition, with a capital T, to interpret the Scripture. And so, again, some of these statements here, they comport more with the United Nations than they do with anything found in tradition or in sacred Scripture. And in the document of the encyclical that Pope Francis wrote, Laudate Si, that's the encyclical on the environment, it says, the key to understanding Pope Francis' pontificate, those and other anthropomorphic statements, certainly strange, sometimes unintelligible and even incongruous, take on meaning when read in light of Pope Francis' encyclical Laudato Si. In fact, this encyclical gives us the key to understand other papal pronouncements, acts, gestures, and attitudes, and notably, the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Querida Amazonia, the Amazonian document. In these documents, Pope Francis deals with earth, nature, and the environment as if they were rational beings. So the earth is being treated as a living being, endowed with intelligence, will, and sensibility, just like men. In fact, here's an actual quote from Laudato Si number 2. It says, quote, "The sister, the earth, now cries out to us because of the harm we have inflicted on her by our irresponsible use and the abuse of the goods with which God has endowed her. This is why our oppressed and devastated earth is among the most abandoned and maltreated of our poor. She groans in travail." You know, when St. Paul's talking about in Romans 22 about the earth groaning in travail, the earth, just like man, is going to be recreated one day. Okay, and so man, until the resurrection, until the eschaton, when we receive our glorified bodies, we are still, once again, going through this labor pain because we're not perfected yet. And same with earth. Earth, one day, the Bible says in Revelation chapter, I think it's 21, that when Christ comes back, earth is going to be reconstituted. It's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. But St. Paul is not talking here as if earth is a human species or if earth has intelligence and will. It's just a metaphor of saying that earth one day is going to be perfected. Ruben?
Yeah. You know, and when he talks about this in his encyclical, the author of this article, he points out the Marxist characterization of the poor as the oppressed. When he's talking about the poor in his encyclical, that's typical of people, Marxists, and I remember that from college. The encyclical recommends an ecological approach for one to hear both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. These situations have caused Sister Earth, along with all the abandon of our world, to cry out, pleading that we take another course.
So that's right from the encyclical. It's quoting, I think, paragraph 49 and 53.
Yeah.
From Laudato Si.
Yeah.
Again, we take another course here. That's the language where that's not magisterial. That's United Nations language. Mm-hmm. In other words, we take another course, which is climate change and global warming and sustainable development. This is what it's trending towards. And so once again, no pope is an expert on science.
Yeah.
And so these are simply opinions based on what I would say is the influence of the United Nations upon the Vatican today. And so those things have no basis in tradition.
Yeah. So thanks to these cognitive volitional faculties and sensitivities, Mother Earth is supposedly able to understand man's behavior toward it and make a moral judgment about human acts, finding them good or bad. Likewise, the earth would feel offended by human actions that it considers evil and take revenge by causing fires, floods, devastation, and pandemics such as the coronavirus. And when you take that statement just by itself, it's not even fathomable that people would believe this, you know, but they are. Earth Day or Mother Day or Mother Earth Day, celebrated by Pope Francis, is an initiative of the naturalist pantheist ecologist movement that began in the 70s. In 2009, the agnostic United Nations approved it as a kind of civil holy day, as seen on the institution's website. Recognizing that Mother Earth is a common expression for the planet Earth in a number of countries and regions, which reflects the interdependence that exists among human beings and other living species and the planet we all inhabit. Noting that Earth Day is observed each year in many countries, decides to designate April 22nd as the International Mother Earth Day.
And that's what Ruben just read from the United Nations document right there.
And that, yeah, Jesse, and you know, when you look at the, you know, because they're pushing this global warming and, you know, all the
climate change.
Right, exactly. And when you look at the people who support those things, based on party lines, oh, like 90% of all Democrats believe in that it's all a fact.
And you know what the goal is, Ruben? The end game for this is to reduce the population of human beings on planet Earth. That's why they're pushing it so hard, because the people that are pushing this global warming, they believe that there's too many people on planet Earth. This justifies their continual funding of abortion, contraception. And again, now we have Bill Gates, who was trying to fund this research for a universal vaccine that all of us are forced to take. I don't know about you. I don't trust this guy as far as I can spit, Ruben. You know, Bill Gates has no medical degree. This guy should be arrested for practicing medicine without a license. And yes, he's going to come up with a vaccine that all of us have to take, so we're medicated from the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. First of all, just as an American looking at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, since when did it become unconstitutional to get sick? Mm. But that's the question.
Yeah.
Since when do we lose our right to get sick? And if I get sick of something, if I don't want to go to the doctor, that's my right.
Absolutely.
I don't want to take medication. I got 4-stage cancer, and they say, okay, we're going to do this chemotherapy and that. And I said, you know what? I'm an old man. I got 4-stage cancer. No, I'm going to just try to, you know, eat greens and drink tea and stuff and say my prayers, and I don't want to go through chemo. That's my right to do so.
Mm, that's right.
But they're pushing this vaccine on us once again, these globalists who are the ones that fund abortion and contraception all over the world. Their goal is to reduce planet Earth. They want to scare everybody to the point where they're saying, yes, planet Earth is burning up. It's getting too hot. We got to reduce the population. And just follow these people like a bunch of sheeple.
Mm. Yeah, Jesse, some people will point out, well, look, we all took vaccines like polio vaccines. yes, maybe you did take rabies vaccines. But to get to school, you know, we had us all vaccinated. And but that was different. Now, I believe we still had a choice. And now they're trying to force it upon you. So this is a total different thing, different time. You know, going back to the article that the United Nations, one of their documents, this is the Mother Earth is clearly urging a call to action. Nature is suffering. Australian fires, heat records, and the worst locust invasion in Kenya. Now we face COVID-19, a worldwide health pandemic linked to the health of our ecosystem. Let's remind more than ever in this International Mother Earth Day that we need to shift to a more sustainable economy that works for both people and the planet. Let's promote harmony and nature of the earth. We better get to the meat of the article, Jesse. Just finish this up on the next side of the break.
Got it.
All right. We'll talk on the other side. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com. and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we're back, two-man car, giving you some Catholic intel, and we're here finishing up on this article on the Pachamama, the Pope Francis, and the pandemic.
Well, that's where it leads to, Ruben. Everything we've talked up until this point leads to the whole Pachamama enthronement. It really does.
Yeah.
Because if Mother Earth takes on human attributes or, human... If we're starting to divinize or deify Mother Earth, then there must be a goddess or a god for Mother Earth. And this is where the whole, Amazonian Synod comes in, this whole understanding from pagans that there is a goddess in Mother Earth, and over in the Amazon, they call her Pachamama. The article says, divinizing the earth. Now, is granting the earth faculties of a rational creature and placing it as a judge and avenger of man's actions not equivalent to divinizing it? This divinization of the earth seems to be the theological underpinning of the ceremonies worshiping the idol of the Pachamama goddess in the Vatican Gardens, and St. Peter's Basilica, the center of Christianity. Now, this pains me, but this is the fact because there's pictures of this. Two Catholic bishops carried the idol on their shoulders in procession from the basilica to the Synod Hall. And Pope Francis effectively participated in all these actions. By divinizing the earth, Pope Francis, the article says, changes traditional church doctrine, which always considered man as the king of corporeal creation. In fact, the book of Genesis is very clear on this. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed Adam and Eve, saying, increase and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the air and all the living creatures that move upon the earth. Father Jose Saquez, he's a Jesuit, in his treatise on God's creation, he says with precision, quote, our assertion that the world exists because of man and certainly to serve him in order to glorify God is of divine and Catholic faith. And if considered in relation to each one of the things that exist in the world, it is a truth that is certain in theology. The qualification of divine and Catholic faith means that it is a truth revealed by God and proposed by the church to be believed. To deny it is a heresy. Father H. Pinard says, all church fathers and theologians, indeed, consider man as the providential crowning of this sensible world. Everything is ordained to him, since without him, things would not fulfill their end. Nature would have no voice to praise God. Man was created last, the fathers of the church say, precisely because it was fitting that everything should be ready before introducing the king of the universe. These are two good priests that are espousing the church's teaching as understood for the last 2,000 years. But in the encyclical Laudato Si, which runs counter to the text of Genesis and the entire tradition of the church, Pope Francis states in section 67 of the encyclical, he says this, quote, it is true that we Christians have at times incorrectly interpreted the scriptures. Nowadays, we must forcefully reject the notion that our being created in God's image and given dominion over the earth justifies absolute domination over other creatures.
Mm, yeah, that's huge, Jess, because...
Ruben, this is a novel teaching. A novel teaching that does not comport with Scripture or the fathers of the church or all the prior popes.
Right. Our Lord gave us charge over the things of the earth, the beasts and the plants. And so to change it.
Now, it doesn't mean, of course, that, you know, you brutalize animals like Satanists do and the cults. We don't do that. We use them. They're to serve our needs.
Yeah.
But, of course, there's also a protocol in how things are done.
Yeah, and you're right. And the Pope consistently presents man not as a master of nature, of the sensible world, a condition which man uses to give glory to God, but virtually reverses that order. Man is no longer considered to be the master, but the servant of nature. Man must submit to and obey nature, which, as we pointed out, is a deviation from Scripture.
And that's the whole point of global warming, climate change, sustainable development. It's the United Nations and the globalists want to force the church to start serving nature and not the other way around. This is the heart of the issue. And also, since we have to submit and obey Mother Nature, according to the globalists and the United Nations, and the modernists and the Catholic Church who are with them, they're not pushing back, they're accepting this. This also means we have to reduce the population on planet Earth, which continues to justify the funding of abortion, contraception. And again, if Bill Gates ends up convincing the powers that be, or the Democrats come in power, we're going to have to take a universal vaccine. And the pain will be probably like, okay, well, you can't buy nothing from the store. You can't shop. You can't buy gas. Who knows what they will do, Ruben, if they take all the levers of power and they come up with some supposed universal vaccine and they are demanding that everybody take it. Again, violation of our constitutional rights. Where does it say we can't get sick?
You're right. And then just to close this out, you know, with the present pontificate, the ongoing church crisis rooted in the modernist heresy in the Nouvelle Théologie has reached an unimaginable degree, with errors and evils attacking the soul more severely than the coronavirus attacks the body. This endangering eternal salvation, the crisis of faith, is far worse than the current pandemic.
Powerful statement.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Yep. Drastic sanitary measures have been taken to mitigate the coronavirus epidemic, yet from a spiritual standpoint, the faithful are left completely unprotected at a time when they most need assistance. While defying nature and favoring the idolatrous cult of Pachamama, Pope Francis quickly closed Rome's churches and allowed bishops from all over the world to do the same, suspending public masses and the distribution of the sacraments. So why should we have expected anything different, given that in his encyclical Laudato Si, Pope Francis characterizes the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, as a fragment of matter. I had to go look that up, and I couldn't believe that that was actually in there.
And you found the Ruben?
Yeah.
I'm almost too embarrassed. I'm too scared to look it
up. Yeah,
I
don't know. I ended up reading half of that document yesterday, and I got my head spinning. It's not clear, you know, when you read this, the doctors of the church, man, you know, this clear Catholic teaching, this is...
1 + 1 = 2.
Yep.
They connect all the dots, Ruben. And there. Now, and modernism, the characteristic of modernism is to specifically write dubious, ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
That way people are saying, well, maybe he meant this.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he meant this.
The
writings in times past, you knew where they stood when they wrote because it was clear.
Right. Yeah, no, he quotes J.P. St. John Paul II, St. Benedict, Pope Benedict. He quotes Bartholomew, the Orthodox leader. And so he's trying to build up. He even goes back to St. Francis of Assisi, you know, talking about taking care of the earth. And so anyway, it's not going to be one of my favorites, Jesse. I'll just put it that way. And to close here, St. Paul declares, but we are not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and will possess life. Hebrews 10:39.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Pray for the Pope. Pray for our leadership. Pray for yourselves. Become prayer warriors. Become a monastery of prayer. Draw close to Christ. Pray those rosary beads every day. Read your Bible every day. The Gospels. Get to know Jesus. Lean on him. Do your spiritual communion prayers. Do your spiritual warfare prayers, the Auxilium Christianorum. Again, as Catholics, pray 3 times a day. That's what the Bible says, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. We'll get through this because Jesus Christ is with us. We think that the boat is empty, and we're in this storm, and we're taking in water, and we're thinking, Lord, where are you? Wake up. No, he's here.
Yeah.
Okay? He's in control of all of this, and he knows He knows exactly what the medicine that we need to bring the church back to and the world back to conversion. And so this is not something that's happening and like, oh no, this has got Jesus by surprise. He doesn't know how to handle this. No.
Yeah.
He's in control of all of this.
And I'm just going to leave the listeners with two Bible verses. 1 Peter 5:10 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Remember, we're going through the suffering. Offer this suffering up, the inability to receive the sacraments, go to Mass, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame. And St. Paul says in Romans 5:3-4, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So, anyway, we're not made for this earth.
We're not going to be here that long, Reuben. Life is very short.
We're not made for this earth, Jess.
We will be, in no time, we'll be at our exit interview. And you're going to say, you know what? All the suffering and all the pain on planet Earth will be worth the first second that you see the face of God. And you know what you'll say? I would have suffered 1,000 times worse on planet Earth, but for the first second of entering the beatific vision one day. That's what you're going to say. All of this is going to be just, you know, it's funny. One of the doctors of the church, St. Teresa of Avila or St. Teresa of Lisieux, said, when you die and we enter into the face and see the face of God, she says, life on planet Earth will be like having spent one bad night in a cheap hotel.
It had to be St. Teresa of Lisieux.
Yeah, I mean, how practical is that? He goes, if you lived like 80 or 90 years and a bad life, horrible life, she says, when you die and you start seeing the face of God, it's going to make your entire life seem like one bad night in a cheap hotel.
Oh, wow.
That's perspective.
Yeah, that is.
Hey, Reuben, let's move on to Vatican's former doctrine. It says global players are using pandemic to suppress Catholic Church. I think that's what I've been saying for weeks. German Cardinal Gerhard Mueller has warned against global players who are against the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church is pro-life, pro-family, and for religious freedom. And again, he's the former prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. He's joined exiled Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano to denounce world governments and their treatment of the coronavirus epidemic. He was talking to Raymond Arroyo last Thursday, and he said, this former CDF Cardinals said that certain powers want to instrumentalize this situation of the coronavirus pandemic to suppress the Catholic Church. He's absolutely right. Look at California, New York, Exhibit A. Reuben?
Yep. Well, coming back to our final segment, stay with us. We're going to wrap this thing up and put a bow on it and give you something good to think about. We'll be right back.
On apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Luke 17, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty. According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, where iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We're going to reference a LifeSite news article, and also EWTN's Raymond Arroyo. He interviewed German Cardinal Gerhard Müller on his show. And had some the cardinal had some great things to say. You know, remember, this is the cardinal that was removed from the highest
fired.
He was fired. Okay, yeah, just say it like it is, Jesse. He was removed because he was fired because he, you know,
he's too Catholic.
He went against what you know, the Pope's agenda, and so. Raymond Arroyo says on Thursday that the former prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith said certain powers, quote, want to instrumentalize the situation of the coronavirus pandemic to suppress the Catholic Church, end quote. The security for your life is not the only value, is what the cardinal says. We also have spiritual values. We cannot isolate totally all the population. We have other illnesses and other dangers in our life, and we cannot absolutely remain in our home. That is absolutely true. I heard some doctors say the other day, that why are the people that contract the virus, and, you know, God bless those people and the family members who've lost a loved one, but there's people that are staying away from the hospitals because they don't want to contract something, or they're not taking other, you know, the hospitals were not taking other surgeries. I know that for a fact, because I, you know, I had a surgery that had coming up, and it was canceled. And so also, people that are that could have gone in for screenings, you know, for cancer or you know, there's different types of cancers, and they're not getting screened because they're not going to the doctors, and they're dying at home. What about those people? Are their lives not worthy? Are their lives not as important as someone with the coronavirus? When you have I think the number is now 0.0027 chance of dying from the virus, you know. It's a lot more riskier to have, you know, prostate cancer or breast cancer or, you know, something like that. It has to get
almost any other illness will kill you more than this will.
Yeah.
Ruben, if somebody just sent me an email, I'm really looking at it. It's talking to, you know, it's came from California. I don't want it says that it's illegal to require masks to be worn because they're detrimental to your immune system, your brain function, and more. So this article, it's a medical report that says that there's no state law in California that requires you to wear a mask in public. Breathing is your right, protected by law. And it's got all these leaks to all these doctors that are saying you shouldn't be wearing a mask if you're not sick because it impedes your breathing. You're continually breathing carbon monoxide. The masks are probably dirty and infected after the first usage. And in fact, here in Arizona, there was somebody that was jogging with a mask. And he dropped dead.
Oh, wow.
You know what he dropped of? He wasn't, the paramedics whisked him to the hospital. He died. He wasn't getting enough oxygen. The guy's running in 100 degrees weather with a mask on. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yep. We did the have you heard Michael Murphy, I believe he was a lieutenant, Navy SEAL, that was, they made that movie, The Lone Survivor, and he was the one who got the Medal of Honor.
Yeah,
he.
They had it yesterday. The Murph
workout. Yeah, so we did it at home. My wife and I and my nephew. We did the Murph workout. Oh boy, I almost died. But my wife, this brought up the point that my wife was invited to by her gym. She goes to a CrossFit gym, to do the Murph workout at the park. but they had to wear masks. And she said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to. How could you work out with a mask on, you know? So
you need all the oxygen you can get when you're working out.
I'm glad she didn't do it now that you tell me that story about the guy dropping dead. Anyway.
Well, back to the article.
So
I digressed a little.
Yeah.
Cardinal Mueller says this. He says, we cannot restrict the human existence also in a materialistic interpretation as if we're able to construct a paradise on earth. This is the key issue right here, what Cardinal Mueller just said. You have the liberals, progressives, globalists, pro-aborts, the communists, the socialists. They want to build paradise on earth. They want to build the Tower of Babel on earth. We can do things better than this supposed God of Judeo-Christianity, if there even is one. And this is exactly what we have with all this, whole climate change, sustainable development, AOC's Greenpeace New Deal. They say we can make the perfect planet Earth for all the fit people, because obviously abortion and it kills all the people that are unfit that shouldn't live, and euthanasia kills also the unfit people. So these liberals want to build this perfect earth, this paradise on earth, and that's what they tried to do in the Tower of Babel. And again, they failed, and they're going to fail this time as well.
You're right. He says this. The cardinal says the state as such cannot say we forbid worshiping. We have the fundamental right, religious rights, human rights, and the state must respect the rights of everybody. Former Bishop of Regensburg in Germany pointed out that the contradiction between, on the one hand, saying that the churches need to be closed, but on the other hand, grocery stores being allowed to remain open for business. He also asked, why is the danger in the church bigger than the supermarket? You know, and if they could trust us to be safe in the stores and to do our part to stay away, why can't they trust us to do that in the churches? It doesn't make sense. Beyond prohibiting public masses, nobody has a right to forbid the priests, the shepherds, to visit the people who are dying or very ill. And that's what's happening. A lot of people are losing out of getting the last rites, you know, extreme unction. As Mueller explained, faithful Catholics have the right to pastoral care in these cases. And he talked to Raymond Arroyo about the appeal for the church and the world, which Mueller had signed together with the two other cardinals and many other Catholics in early May. He's talking about that the document by Archbishop Cardinal Vigano that was also signed by some priests and some other bishops. And the president of the German Bishops' Conference, Bishop George...
Oh, yeah, all the liberal German bishops, Ruben, they went crazy.
They went against him. They're going to do something opposite of what this document says.
Yeah, look, this is what Akita Japan talked about. The prophecy of before the second coming of Christ, we're going to have bishops versus bishops. The top bishop of Germany is taking on, again, Cardinal Mueller. Again, Cardinal Mueller representing Orthodoxy, and Bishop Gebhard Fürst. Here's what he tweeted. As bishop of the Diocese of Rottenburg-Stuttgart, I strongly disassociate myself from the dangerous theories of the group around Archbishop Vigano. Whoever reinterprets the efforts of politics to protect human life from the coronavirus into a dubious world conspiracy is playing with fire. So this liberal bishop is saying, no, there's nothing to see here. You know, Gates has great intentions. The United Nations has great intentions. You know, Fauci and Burke, these are good people that are trying to really save us and save us from this virus. So this guy, again, is just drinking the Kool-Aid. And he's saying, nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah, Jesse, these bishops, unfortunately, are acting just like our politicians, the liberal politicians. And they're keeping us in fear. Yeah. And they want to just rule over us. And they downplay, like, Archbishop Vigano, Cardinal Mueller, Cardinal Burke, they downplay what they're saying and don't take them serious. This is, you know, how could you support them? Look at all, what was it that Archbishop Fulton Sheen says that, you know, what's right is right. If nobody's right, what's wrong is wrong. If everybody's wrong. And so that when you look at the numbers, all these bishops and cardinals on the left here, they have they have the numbers to support, you know, what their agenda. So how are you going to go with the few? You're trying to look at it like that, and the numbers don't matter. Truth
exactly,
is truth.
Exactly, Ruben. Same thing happened with Arius, the heretic. He had 80 to 85% of the bishops on his side denying that Christ was fully God.
Yep.
The minority position at the Arian crisis was that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. And so, again, numbers don't mean anything. Truth is what means everything in this point.
That's right. And
it says the bishops who signed the Vigano appeal, Mueller continued, cannot say anything about the medical issues of COVID-19, but we have to speak about the instrumentalization of this virus, of this big world crisis, global crisis, by some dictatorial states or by other ideological groups which want to take the opportunity to suppress the church and make a breakdown of the sacramental life of the church. Good statement. So he's saying, look, I'm not a doctor. I can't weigh in on the medical evidence of COVID-19, but I can say this. This is being used by bad people to break down the sacramental life of the church. That's an absolutely true statement.
Yep. And the last thing he says is, we are cooperating with secular institutions for social justice and peace and ecology, but our main mission is to preach the kingdom of God. Preach it, Cardinal Mueller, because that's what you know, you were put here on earth to do, and we need leaders like this, strong leaders that are going to bring us the faith that was entrusted to them, handed on once and for all to the apostles. And what are we going to do? We just got to continue praying. You know, some people are talking about maybe going to the bishop's residence, or go to his office and protest and see if he will listen. Here in LA, it makes me sad that they're saying that they need to take precautions by disinfecting the churches. They've had 2 months to do that. Why are they just now bringing that up now? You've had 2 months to disinfect the churches. What have you been doing? Oh, we've been on vacation, you know.
Ruben, you know what's funny? They never disinfected the churches before.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been going for years, decades, centuries. You go to church, you touch the same pews, you touch, you know, the same kneelers, and the same. They're not disinfected. And nobody's ever gotten sick going to church from getting some virus or something. Yeah. This is just smoke and mirrors to continue, you know, basically doing Governor Newsom's bidding and not to upset him, because let's just not forget, follow the money.
Yeah.
The Democrat Party funds the USCCB to the tune of $90 million a year. That may be why a lot of the bishops are not pushing back against the Democrat dictators.
That's exactly it. Follow the money. But a friend of mine texted me, and he said that there was an article that came out today saying that if they open the churches, they're going to forbid, you know, the singing, the recitation, the responses, because that will promote the virus to spread. So you're going to have to sit there and cover your mouth or put a mask on and not sing, not give the responses.
You know what will fix that problem? Go back to the Latin Mass. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You don't want to sing because spit's coming out of your mouth, you don't want people to talk and pray out loud, go back to the Latin Mass. That solves that problem.
Oh, my God. What was the name of that show we used to watch? I can't remember the name
of the show. I forgot, Ruben.
We'll talk about it next time. You've been listening to Jesus 911, two-man car. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. Remember, keep the faith, pray the rosary, the Divine Chaplet, wear your scapular. Do the right thing.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.